This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Que a paz e bênção de Deus esteja com você. Por favor, participe no programa do Dean Show. Eu sei que você vai gostar. Muito obrigado, abração para vocês. Até logo. Tchau, tchau. Hello everyone, please join us in the Dean Show. I'm pretty sure you guys are going to find a good segment tonight. Thank you.
This is the Dean Show.
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 Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tudo bem?
Tudo bem. Tudo bom. What does that mean bom. Now for the people that don't understand Portuguese, Brazilian?
So that means, what's up? How's it going? How are you?
Now, I mean, you just hit home, man, because I've been so excited. You know, I come from a background that I've been training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
The people, my teachers, they originate from Brazil, right? And some some of them are the nicest, friendliest people. You know, and they're really welcoming and warm. And, you know, I used to travel there to train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I always wanted to, and I have shared, you know, with many of them the purpose of life and trying to, you know, talk to them about this. But it's different when they hear someone who's from the culture, from the background, and you're Brazilian and in a predominantly Catholic environment. Now, how did you end up becoming a Muslim, one who submitted to the will of God? That's what a Muslim is, and you're Brazilian. How does this work?
Exactly. You know, sometimes I think, you know, every time we talk about Brazil, the first thing that comes out of people's mouth is carnival, the beaches, the surfing, and I'm not going to say the other items that tends to be the stereotypical, you know, but, you know, like you said, you know, it's a predominantly Catholic culture, and mostly, like I said, when we say Catholic, it doesn't mean that the people necessarily follow those beliefs. It's more of a cultural thing. And for me growing up, I kind of grew up in the cultural side of the Catholic faith, just, you know, Christmas, New Year's, but when it came in February, Carnival, you partied up and you did everything that you really weren't supposed to do, right? And then you get back again and you repent and you do all the stuff again. But for me, I think the pivotal point in my life was when I immigrated to the U.S. in 1990. You know, I think, and I actually came by myself. I remember I was 9 years old and the stewardess talking to me in English, I couldn't understand a word that they were saying. But for me, it was this melting pot, this cultural shock of just coming to the U.S. and meeting people of different nations and different tongues and different colors and different backgrounds. And that was really an eye-opener for me. And while I was in Brazil, like I said, I grew up in a place called Rio de Janeiro, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
So that's where you were born? You grew up Rio de Janeiro?
Rio de Janeiro, yeah. That's why people...
Now you say it a little... How do you say it properly?
Rio de Janeiro.
Rio, because the R is with the H.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then usually people from Rio, we call them carioca. So if you're from Rio, I think the Brazilian audience, they probably know what I'm talking about. I'm considered a carioca because that's kind of like the nickname, you know, like say from New York or New Yorker. So we say I'm a carioca. I'm from Rio. Exactly.
Now you also train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You know the Gracies, who are the developers of this art that came over to the United States and had the ultimate, they're the ones that developed the ultimate fighting championship. And they prove without a shadow of a doubt that it is the most effective martial art in the world. That's how they became known. You obviously know about the Gracie family?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, growing up in Brazil, you know, we always heard about the Familia Gracie, the family Gracie. And I did capoeira. I think most people probably don't know. Capoeira is another traditional martial arts that was actually started by the African slaves. First disguised as kind of like a dance and ritual, but really it was more of a training technique to protect themselves from the plantation owners. But growing up in Brazil, you know, in the beach and that environment, you know, I think there's a lot of machismo, right? So I did have a lot of friends who were jiu-jitsu fighters. But really for me, my family wanted me to do more of the traditional taekwondo and capoeira. But when I came to the U.S., I really got into grappling. I wrestled part of my middle school year. And when I joined the Marine Corps has its own martial arts program, MCMAP. So it's a lot of grappling. And actually, talking about the Gracie, they introduced a lot of the grappling from the Gracie family. So, you know, Hixon Gracie, I've seen him a couple of times. I met him. And
you met Hixon?
Yeah.
For our audience that doesn't know who Hixon Gracie is, you know, they know Schwarzenegger. They think that's a real strong guy.
Yeah.
Or they know Muhammad Ali. But right. Hixon Gracie, you know, in his time or even till today, he's an undefeated martial artist.
Martial artist, exactly.
People don't know that.
They
he's like
that.
400-0.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think it kind of goes into, and I know probably the viewers, you know, they don't know about the story about Rukana, right, who was a companion of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And this particular companion, he was somebody who, I guess, at that time, let's say he was kind of like the Hixon Gracie, if we can try to compare, right?
Yeah.
So he was somebody in the time in Arabia that nobody can beat him down. No one can take him down. And here comes, you know, this undefeated ultimate wrestler, grappler, going to the beloved Prophet, peace be upon him, and challenging him. Not only once, not only twice, but the third time. And then finally the third time, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, meaning I will witness and testify that there's only one God and that the Prophet Muhammad is the final messenger. So I think when I became a Muslim and I came across that prophetic saying, it really kind of just opened my eyes. I'm like, wow, it's an incredible story just to see that this man was able to say, you know what, I was knocked down and this is the Prophet of Allah. But yeah, I always think about Hixon Gracie, and I always think about the story of Rukana, and it's something that I can equate, you know, between the two of them.
I know a lot of the Brazilians, they can relate if they look into Islam, their submission to the will of God. They see that it's something rational, it's logical. You know, many of them have good etiquettes, good manners, you know, good character, just, you know, nice people in general.
Yeah.
So. Is there, what kind of Muslim outreach is there? Is there, I know when I was there, I found a small little masjid, it was like 1% Muslims there.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we, like, you know, do more to help deliver the message of the purpose of life, you know,
yeah,
to the people in that part of the world?
Yeah, Brazil is a very big country, and it's actually part of the acronym BRIC, which a British economist actually came up with that terminology. So Brazil, Russia, India, and China. So it's a country that's developing very fast. And I don't know if the viewers know, you know, but actually in 2014 the World Cup is going to be in Brazil, and in 2016 the Olympics. So there's a lot of Muslims, Brazilian Muslims like myself.
There are a lot of Brazilian
that
Muslims
are accepting Islam, especially in the city of São Paulo, because there's a big Lebanese community in Brazil, and through those immigrants who came, obviously they brought in Islam, but you do have a lot of people accepting Islam. In Rio, the problem is, you know, you have a beach culture, a beach environment, and it kind of tends to be more of a challenge, you know. How do you go ahead and present this beautiful way of life? But Brazilians are very down-to-earth. They're loving people. They're very friendly. And I'm pretty sure you know that already.
Yeah.
And I think as part of my culture, that's what it is. You know, we say we're amigos, we're friends. And they're very hospitable people as well. And I think this is part of the nature of the people there. Maybe it has something to do with the tropical climate. But when I went there a couple of times, you know, to visit my family, to go to business, you know, the first thing, and when they see the beard, you know, they see the hat, the kufi, and they think, oh, você é árabe, you know, you're Arab. And, you know, but they see it in a friendly way. And then usually, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes, which they're called preconceitos. So usually you have to break away those stereotypes. And once you break away those stereotypes, they're like, well, I didn't even know that. I don't know that Muslims believed in Jesus. That, you know, there's a chapter in the Quran called, you know, Surah Al-Maryam, the chapter of Mary. We didn't know that Abraham, Moses, these are all prophetic, you know, prophets that God sent to humanity. So once you start explaining to them these things, it's really an eye-opening, because unfortunately the media there, just like anywhere, you know, they give a lot of false claims about Islam. So I think once you start addressing the real issues, then the people say, I want more. Eu quero mais. So, and then that's when you really, you know, begin the work of da'wah, of propagating Islam.
The creator of the heavens and the earth, the one God, the same God that Jesus worshipped, Abraham, Moses, the creator who created creation, you know, through his last and final messenger, we know that there's a saying that if you're not thankful to the people, you're not thankful to God. So I know myself, I'm very thankful to this family, the Gracie family, that I got to benefit and learn this art that I'm getting to pass on to others, teaching people how to defend themselves in certain situations, you know, training, living a healthy lifestyle. They even caught a Gracie diet. Wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, to give back, you know, I can give them, let's say, money, or, you know, give them a house, a car, you know, these material things that, you know, they'll perish, you know, at the end. But I feel the greatest gift that we can give is to share this message of peace, purpose,
absolutely,
Islam. if we can share it with them. So hopefully some of them, you know, are tuning in. I'm good friends with a lot of them. And alhamdulillah, all thanks is to the Creator that I got a Brazilian Muslim on the show. So let's dwell into this. Before we go to break, you know, beach volleyball and at the beach drinking and all these parties and all that stuff. But, you know, most people, it's not satisfying to the soul. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just chasing your lusts and desires. You were living that like carnival and, yeah, you know, just that freestyle lifestyle. You know, why is it important to think, to ponder about purpose of life? Why have I been created? I'm going to die soon. Where am I going when I die? You thought about these questions?
Absolutely, all the time. And in the time that I grew up in Brazil, in Rio, there was a lot of violence. And I know you've been to Rio. And the thing about Rio is that, you know, you have the richest of places and poverty is right in your face, Eddie. You know, you have the favelas, the slums. And growing up in this economical injustice, you know, you saw a lot of hostility. So growing up, I remember times in Brazil, I didn't have the pretty yellow bus. I had to walk to school, you know, actually close to 2 miles up a hill. And there was a time, a season where, you know, just like maybe you're driving down the road and you see a dead squirrel. But there was times that, you know, as a young man, as a young boy, I saw a lot of dead people in the street because the violence was so strong. And I think seeing that as a young child, seeing that, wow, you know, this physical state, it's gonna die. One day I'm not going to be here. So at a very young age, you know, being, you know, seeing death like that right in front of your face, I've always asked, you know, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? And I think that's something that from a very beginning, God was already calling me, calling me to this straight path, to this way of life. And it's something that a lot of Brazilians, you know, at that time, even now, there's still a lot of violence. But as things are changing, you know, as anywhere, it's becoming materialistic. But you still have people who are humble, who are down to earth, and they know that all this material, having fun, carnaval, enjoying all the beach life, you know, I think after a point you kind of say, I did everything. And that was the situation with me. You know, I did everything at a young age, I experienced everything, and after that you say, what else? And I think once you hit that point, you know, that's when there's a void. And you start saying, wow, you know, what else? I have done everything. What else do I do? And then for me, it was, you know, a new life experience. And like I said, from a very young age, you know, seeing death and going through a near-death experience, I think is something that kind of woke me up and choked me up and say, you know, I need to find what's the purpose of life. I need to go ahead and discover who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I began that journey. And all praise be to God. I'm here and I'm grateful to be a Muslim. And most importantly, being grateful to be in a country where we have freedom of religion. And even though I never had the privilege prior to Islam to know a Muslim, you know, I read about Malcolm X, Haji Malik al-Shabazz, and just reading his autobiography, especially when he went to Mecca, and he said, I sit next to my brother with the blonde hair and blue eyes. You know, that always gives me the goosebumps because it's just an amazing story. And ever since I read that autobiography, I wanted more. And then, you know, eventually I think the main thing that caught my attention was a PBS program, was, you know, getting dawah from a public broadcasting station. I don't know if you ever heard of the Religion and Ethics program on PBS. So I was actually watching a program with Michael Wolff, who was a Muslim convert. He did a lot of beautiful production.
American
broadcast, exactly. And in this particular show, it was a story about two Americans who accepted Islam. And I remember Sunday morning sitting there and watching this program and being like, wow, I want to follow that way of life. I want to experience that peace that they're experiencing. And I remember the next day, you know, college guy in New Jersey at that time, and obviously all tatted up. And I remember I went to school, and that's when I actually made the decision to go to the Muslim Student Association at Montclair State University and meet the Muslims.
Mm-hmm. We're going to continue on with your story, and we're going to start giving some evidence, because Islam is not something that just overtakes you, right, and you get full of something and you have this mystical experience. Islam is calling you, the Creator is calling you to reflect and think, and this truth is based on proof, on evidence. Is that right?
That's right.
And we're going to dig some more. Tell them something in Portuguese, we'll be right back.
Agora, meus amigos, por favor, espere um momentinho, porque com certeza você vai gostar do Dean Show. Até logo. Abração. Tchau, tchau.
Everybody, deep down, they believe that there is a God.
Yeah.
And as much as they deny it.
If God exists, and he does, if God sends prophets, and he does, if God reveals books, and he does, should he not tell me how to live my life? Doesn't that make sense?
They feel more secure and safe now inside the religion of Islam than they ever felt out in the streets.
But the best way to bring true, profound happiness, true, profound peace, true profound tranquility is by following the guidance that God has given.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
See for yourself what Islam has to say, because it really is the path to happiness and truth in life.
It comes to you the truth and the attribute of the one who created you, that he's one and alone running this universe, that he doesn't become born, he doesn't die, he doesn't eat and go to the bathroom. This is not God.
You got problems here.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Who was Jesus worshiping?
Because it's recorded in the gospel. Despite all of the other issues about the gospels, we put those aside. We just say it's mentioned there that Jesus worshiped God.
One who protects us from hunger.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Estamos de volta no Dean Show. Welcome back to the Dean Show.
Hey, man, what's going on? We're starting again without me, man.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Listen, now, okay, partying's getting played out. Mm-hmm. You know, you've had all the money and you've had all this fame and many people, they're chasing these vain pursuits. But death comes, it's a reality. Yes. You know, it's a party stumper. You just don't want to talk about it. But we're all going to die, and there's a purpose to life. And the one who organized life, there is a creator. I mean, most Brazilians, don't they believe that, you know what, this whole universe and everything in it didn't just happen by chance?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and that's something that in my culture and the way I grew up, you know, an open society and being taught to respect people of different backgrounds, I mean, you do overall, Brazilians tend to be aware and keen about the spirituality. You know, you know, they talk about o espírito, the spirituality of life, and you know, the purpose of life, and you know, what is the afterlife. You know, that's mm-hmm. something that you have a lot of Brazilians who actually, you know, look into that subject about their hereafter, afterlife. You know, obviously we don't believe in reincarnation, but we do know that we will be resurrected by our Creator, and we will face what they say in Portuguese, Dia das Justiças, you know, Judgment Day. So you do have a lot of Brazilians who believe in that. And obviously as Muslims, we know that our Creator, Allah, God, that we will be before our Creator on the Day of Judgment.
So tell us now, design, obviously indicates a designer. And we're intelligent human beings, so we know that there has to be someone who's responsible for everything. That's the Creator, right?
Right.
So now, what was it, you believed in a Creator, you partied your life. At one point, you were partying, having a good time, and now you're like, okay, I got to figure out the purpose of life. Right. Death came into the equation. You're like, I'm going to die. I'm going to figure this out before I die. And then what was it about this way of life, Islam, submission to the will of God, that captivated your attention even more so, the evidences, the proof? So the Brazilian, right. whoever else in the world, he's like, I need some proof. I don't want to follow organized religion right. organized by man or men. I want to follow a way of life that is from the Creator, not a human being.
Absolutely. And you know what? These are all important questions. And even myself, before becoming a Muslim, anyone who submits to the will of God.
How do you say that in Portuguese?
Muçulmano. Muçulmano, Muslim.
And what? How do you translate it?
Quem submete a Deus, one who submits to God.
That's it. Okay.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So I had all those concepts, and I went to an Episcopalian boarding school in Boca Raton, Florida, and obviously, you know, having to go to chapel 3 times a day, and having gone to like a religious type school, an Episcopalian, which is a sect of Christianity, and being always learning the scripture and trying to understand the scripture, you know, whatever variation, whatever language, I always wanted to understand the scripture. And I think for me, after I had my medical discharge from the Marine Corps and going through a difficult experience during my training, a near-death experience, I think that really was an eye-opener. And when I moved back to New Jersey and I went to college and studying anthropology, I think that was another way of learning different cultures, learning different languages. And in one particular course we studied, it's called, you know, the cultures of the Middle East. And in that particular course, you know, I really learned a lot about what is the Middle East and what are the different cultures. And obviously Islam, there's a lot of Muslims in the Middle East. And when I began to search and watching that program on PBS, I think, you know, to those people who say, well, I don't want to follow organized religion, but I'll tell you something. I never planned. I never wrote down in my agenda that in 2004, November of 2004, a college student, I was going to go to the Muslim Student Association, and then I was going to go there and become a Muslim. Because the way it happened is, you know, here I am, Felipe Martins, Felipe Martins, you know, a guy from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Here I am. And it, for me, it happened as if, like, it was the will of God. Like, it was something that was the will of God. And sometimes people, they want something tangible, right? They want something that they can feel. And the feeling that I had is, like, going there and seeing the Muslims and being welcomed. And I'll tell you, Eddie, I never knew what the word Shahada was, which for your viewers, I don't know if they know the Declaration of Faith, but everything that a Muslim believed, I already believed. I believed in the one God, the creator of the heavens and earth, because I'll tell you, when my grandmother had the image of Jesus, peace be upon him, as a blonde hair, blue-eyed, fair skin, not that there's anything wrong with that, you know, these are just the pigmentation of your skin, but that was the image of what my grandmother told me, that's God. And as a young child, imagine, I say, how can God be a created thing? And I remember when I would ask that, the priest would just say, well, you have to have faith. You know, how do I have to go to you to seek forgiveness and not seek the forgiveness from the one who created you and I? So as a young child, I think that's something that's called the fitra. It's innate. And when I went to the Muslim Student Association, I already had those beliefs. So for me, it was a desire to go back to something that I was already part of. And I remember one of the brothers, you know, he said, well, you should take your shahada. But I remember, Eddie, I said, you know what? I want the shahada. Where's the shahada? You know, having been in a fraternity, I said, well, okay, where's the ritual? But it wasn't, you know, dunking in the water or doing some crazy ritual. It was just sincerely declaring that I bear witness and testify that there's only one deity worthy of worship, which we say Allah in Arabic, and that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger. And I believe that, especially after I read the book, I believe you covered it in one of your shows, The 100 Most Influential People in History. And I read that as a student, and I was amazed by the character of Muhammad, peace be upon him. And having been in the military, not only from the military aspect, from a statement, a father, and just seeing this wonderful man. And I think, you know, that was another way that really caught my attention, reading about who is the Prophet Muhammad. And that really opened up so much doors for me just to say, I want to emulate and follow in his footsteps.
Now, what was at the end? So you took this step forward, you found out that Islam was true based on proof, and then you took the Shahada, you declared that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and the earth, and Muhammad is the last and final messenger. Your relationship with Jesus, did it get cut off?
It didn't get cut off. If anything, it became more clear and evident, because Jesus himself never proclaimed, nor did he ever say, because obviously nowadays no one speaks Aramaic. No one speaks the actual language. And obviously Bible comes from the Greek word Biblios. So just to make a long story short, you know, after studying extensively, and I wanted to become a pastor, I wanted to actually go into that route. So I began to read a lot at a very young age, all the different versions of the Bible. But if anything, it made it more clear and crystalline, understanding that Jesus, the Son of Mary, whom Allah sent to this earth for the people at that time, was a way for people to be guided to the right way in that particular time and place. And that the Prophet Muhammad is the final. He's called the Khatam al-Nabiyyin. He's the seal of the prophets. If anything, it made it much more clear. And I think it's, you can't just blind follow anything. You have to seek the truth and seek knowledge and be objective and try to understand. Because once you really are sincere, God will guide you to the right way.
We're going to come back with more to wrap it up here on the Deen Show. Don't go nowhere.
On the outside, everything looks good. You see the $100,000 cars, you see a lot of diamonds, you see a lot of females, and they think that this is, you know, this is the life. This is like, you know, paradise right here on earth.
It's not anyone's job to go into someone's heart and change their heart. Your job is to tell people what the truth is.
And the reality of it is, while we're sitting here, while I'm sitting here constantly paying for the disease, the cure was free.
And if we're going to worship something, I figured I might as well worship the Creator instead of any of the creations.
Now, in, upon investigating all the religions, I remember finding out the meaning of what Islam is, what a Muslim is. Those who surrender themselves to God is a Muslim. Those who surrender, submit to God, God's will. That is it. Islam was pure. It was just, you just pray to God, your Creator.
If Allah is by my side,
I am not afraid to stand alone.
I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Dean Show with Felipe.
Felipe,
tudo bom?
Tudo bem, meu amigo.
All right, and we are reaching out to all of humanity, especially the people that are really dear to my heart, the Brazilians. And we know about the Gracie family, Hickson Gracie, yes. Royce Gracie. I was just with the Gracie, whose father brought the Ultimate Fighting Championship here, yeah. Henner Gracie. And we're trying to, Carlos Gracie Jr., this is my teacher, Marcio Feitosa, so many people to mention, Henzo Gracie,
yes,
you know Henzo Gracie,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so many of the Gracies that I really, you know, love dearly, and we really want to share this purpose of life with them. So continue on, we're almost out of time. Mm-hmm. So again, helping people such as themselves who are successful and they have so much. And why do you feel it's important, like you did, to stop and reflect that, look, I should be thankful to God, the Creator who created me. And we mentioned Jesus. Many people are connected to Jesus, but as a Muslim, that didn't cut your connection off. But there's confusion over this man.
Right.
But Islam cleared it up, that Jesus was a mighty messenger of God. Never did he ever say he was God.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
He called people to worship God.
Absolutely.
And from there, you figured out that this has to be the truth. So give us some other things that you feel that they can relate to from your experiences that will help them along the way to at least, you know, stop and reflect and look into this some more. Investigate this. Form an investigation. Look into the Quran, the verbatim word of God, and do some homework.
Absolutely. And kind of just going back to it, you know, at that particular point in my life, Eddie, when I was searching for the truth, I was searching for what is the right way and what's my purpose of life. And I think, you know, everybody, you know, at one point or another, you always ponder and you say, you know what, you know, you think about a ticket, the boarding pass. And you know that the boarding pass, there's a time of departure. And I say that to my Brazilian irmãos and brethren, my brothers and sisters in humanity, that, you know what, we have this departure ticket, and we have a departure time, and all of us will face that particular time, but we don't know when. So I think is we have to prepare, and in preparing that in this wonderful way of life, it's a way of life that brings success, not only in this life, but God willing, in the hereafter. And it's a way of life that brings about so many good things, boas coisas, good things, things that will make you a better person, a better father, a better son, a better husband, whatever it is. If you're a professor in jiu-jitsu, it's going to make you a better professor in jiu-jitsu. If you're a competitor in jiu-jitsu, it's going to make you a better competitor in jiu-jitsu. And I say that because I find that now that I'm a Muslim and things are so much clearer, right? I'm not chained, I'm not enslaved by what culture and what society wants you to be. Because if you become enslaved by what society wants you to be, you're never going to fully evolve as a human being. And that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be enshackled by what society wanted me to be, how I have to look, what kind of car I have to have, how much money. God doesn't care if you have 1 cent or $1 billion in the bank, or if you drive a Ferrari or a hoopty, as we say in my neck of the woods. So it's more about who you are as a person, who you are as a human being.
Before we leave, just in Portuguese, break down some of the main crust of the matter of Islam. I mean, we can go expound on this for so long, but we only have like, I'll give you like 30, a minute in Portuguese, and then just break it down, summarize in English. Go ahead, talk
to me. Certeza, meus amigos, muito obrigado por participar aqui no show do Dean, do Brother Eddie. Primeira coisa, Islam. Tem muito preconceito sobre o Islam. Islam é o caminho a Deus, né? Com as mensagens de todos os profetas, profeta Adão, Abraão, Jesus, filho de Maria, e o último é o profeta Muhammad, que a paz esteja com ele. E com certeza eu sei se vocês passam tempo a tentar conhecer o Islam, eu sei que com certeza vocês vão gostar dessa mensagem. É um jeito de vida que com certeza vai te caminhar e iluminar a sua vida. Muito obrigado.
Now, what'd you say briefly, just real quick?
Basically, just saying that Islam is a way of life. It's a way that brings about success, and it's a message that all the prophets from Adam, Abraham, Noah, Jesus, the son of Mary, and the last prophet Muhammad, it's a way of life that it brings about success, and it's a way of life that for sure it's going to make you a better human being.
Thank you very much. May God Almighty, the Creator, Allah reward you for being with us. Thank you so much. And that was it. Another episode of The Dean Show. When you die, and we will all die, and there's only a few things that follow us to the grave, I'm telling you right now, this is the truth. This is the truth. Your family will follow you, and your wealth will follow you, and then your actions, what you did in this life. But the only thing that's going to carry on over with you to the next life are your actions. Your wealth and your material goods stay behind. And the only thing that you can take with you are your action. And the best action that you can have in this life is to work to please your Creator before you meet Him. To worship the Creator and not His creation. Not to worship Jesus, not to worship Moses, Muhammad, but to worship the God who created this whole universe and everything in it. The same God that Jesus worshiped, the same God that all of mankind profess that created this creation, that's the one God. So now is the chance to reflect. Why have I been created? Where am I going when I die? And now is the time to beseech, to ask the Creator for guidance before it's done. And then you got the hellfire in front of you and paradise. Now, you can't extend your hand for paradise if you didn't work for it. So work right now hard in this life to be the best that you can be, following God's game plan, not your desires. So we hope you got the benefit. 1-800-662-ISLAM. And read this book, the Quran. Pick it up. Read it. You read everything else. We'll see you next time. Peace be unto you.
Thank you.